The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Gorgeous, gorgeous afternoon here in the UK. A good morning to everyone listening in America. We've got some live listeners, generally speaking, in Australia and the Philippines listening in at night. So wherever you happen to be in listening to this show, we're glad that you could be here with us. As I say, just a beautiful day here on the Edstone campus. The leaves are changing their colors, and it's a nice autumn chill in the air. We're less than 2 weeks away from the U.S. presidential election, so there's certainly a lot to talk about with respect to the news. I thought I would start with just some really amazing feedback that we got in response to the final Celtic Throne performance. Just a few comments here. These came in on TripAdvisor, so these are people that came and visited Armstrong Auditorium and really enjoyed the experience. One says here, we were overwhelmed by the performance, way more than we expected. The diversity in ages even made it better. My favorite part was the dueling violins, something we definitely want to see again. So hopefully we have another relaunch of this production, perhaps sometime next year. Another one said, my mom, me, and a friend went to see the concert. We all thought that Riverdance has nothing on this show. The dancers gave everything they had. We were so uplifted. It was hard to stay in our seats. So we think a warning or seat belts should be put on the seats. Thank you for sharing a very enjoyable evening. We hope to see it again. So another one that wants to see it again. This viewer said, I've been a season ticket holder for years and have seen lots of wonderful, talented, professional shows, but this had something extra. It was wonderful, refreshing, professional, and patriotic. Every person should see this show before the election. The innocence of our children cannot be taken away from us. As I say, these are just incredible responses to the show. Another one here says, the variety of dance, vocals, instruments, and drama were incredible and beautifully choreographed. Amazing talent. We loved every minute. And then this one here says, I went twice. First took my dad, then two grandsons. I would go 10 more times. Very impressive. After the opening number, my 9-year-old grandson said, Grammy, I have never been more mind blown. That's a comment from a 9-year-old, a 9-year-old to his grandmother. And then finally here, it says, it was a good show overall. Those kids absolutely danced their hearts out. The auditorium was nice. Refreshments would have been made a nice addition. Well, there actually were refreshments upstairs, but maybe he didn't get up there during intermission. In any event, that was the one slightly, tiny, tiny bit of negativity in a number of comments where people were just overwhelmed by it. And I think one thing that we've commented on with respect to Celtic Throne that's just been so exciting to see is how many people went to see it multiple times. Of course, those of us involved in the production saw it a lot, 8, 9, 10 times in some cases, and it never got old for me anyway. But people that came from out of town and just viewed it the first time and then again a second time, that tells you something, I think, about how the show really does move people and really does inspire them to come back again. Well, as I said a moment ago, there's certainly a lot in the news cycle, a lot. If you're into politics, this is your time in the United States of America. Tonight, of course, there's another big debate, and it'll be interesting to see, given how the first one, the media made such a production out of interruptions, as if Donald Trump was the only one to interrupt. Well, since the last debate, there have been a lot more revelations, as we well know, regarding the Biden family pay-for-play scandal. We wrote about that in the Trumpet Brief last night, so that's at the Trumpet.com website right about now. But I'll be curious to see if anything about that scandal will even be allowed to be discussed. You certainly can't imagine this left-wing moderator bringing it up. But what will happen when President Trump brings it up? They've already made announcements that they're going to cut mics if there's too many interruptions. So you can be sure that the radical left-wing media is preparing, doing everything that they can to protect their candidate, to protect Joe Biden. He's been in the basement all week preparing for the debate, preparing for tonight. And he's got lots of help, as I say, all across the media and so on. How will President Trump bring it up? He's been bringing it up at all of the rallies, as you've heard on this program. We'll have, I'm sure, some fireworks to bring to you on tomorrow's program. I'll get more to the latest revelation, again, brought to us by the New York Post. Their Twitter account has been locked for 7 days now, I think it is. A week! They've been locked. Well, Twitter is just, you know, they're doing some fact-checking. It takes them a while. And in the meantime, as it happens a week and a half before the U.S. election, the New York Post, its Twitter account is locked. It's frozen. That's pretty amazing. We'll come to that, as I say, a little bit later. Let me first update you on a bit of good news. At least it should be good news. It should be reported all over the place. This first clip comes to you from NPR. That's pretty far to the left. But listen to this recent report. I think this is from 2 days ago at NPR, clip one.
Now for some good news about coronavirus treatment. Two studies soon to be published show that hospitalized patients in the US and UK are much less likely to die from the virus than they were at the start of the pandemic.
Much less likely to die from this virus. This is from the written version of the story at NPR. It says, two new peer-reviewed studies are showing a sharp drop in mortality among hospitalized COVID-19 patients. The drop is seen in all groups, including older patients and those with underlying conditions. So even the elderly, even those with underlying conditions, the chances of dying, they're a lot less likely today than they were back in March and April. Now, this study, it doesn't conclude that there's a definite reason for it. It's probably multiple reasons. Just the fact that hospitals are better prepared, they're using more experimental therapeutics like they did on the president, that sort of thing. And then the fact that it just could be, the strain could be weakening. Whatever the reasons, these are the facts. And we've been told for months, let's look at the science. Let's look at the facts. The drop is seen in all groups, including older patients and those with underlying conditions, suggesting that physicians are getting better at helping patients survive the illness. And yet, what do we see? Well, there's cases, 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 cases. And so we've got to lock things down. I think Richard on Tuesday's show talked about Wales. Not that far from here. The entire nation going into total lockdown for 2 weeks, everything shut down. And they're telling people now it's just 2 weeks. You remember in March, they said, now it's just 3 weeks. That's all that it's going to be. And it turned into months. And now there's supposedly more cases. How many deaths? Well, those are in the single digits, basically. I think yesterday it was 14, Tuesday 10, Monday 1. In previous weeks, as I mentioned, it's down around single digits, and yet everything shut down in all of Wales. And of course, it'll be the British government that pays the bill, that foots the bill on all of this. Everything's shut down. And so, well, they have to have handouts. And then you've got the rules here in England, the rule of six. Can't go to a restaurant with more than six people. Can't have more than six people in your house. and on it goes. There's a few nations waking up to the fact that Sweden was right. But most are not. Most are not. Listen to this. You talk about scaremongering. This is a recent video. It's put out by the NHS and then tweeted out also by the British Health Secretary, Matt Hancock. This is the warning, clip 13.
Having the COVID was rough and I was really ill. The periods of fatigue started to kick in.
A headache every single morning.
Muscle aches and pains.
The chest pain in particular.
The hangover has been far worse.
What keeps me awake at night is never fully recovering.
Do not make the mistake of thinking that being young or being fit is going to stop COVID from having a long-term impact on your health.
No facts, no statistics, just what, four emotional testimonies? That's it. And Matt Hancock has to tweet it out to everybody. Don't think because you're young that you're immune from this. Don't think that because you're fit that you're safe. Everyone better be afraid. Young, old, fit, non-fit, everybody. That's the message. And it still goes out. And the few dissenting voices, as we'll see here in just a bit, censored. We think censorship has been in the news for the last 7-8 days because of the Biden story. This has been going on especially during the Trump presidency, and especially this year, 2020. Think of all the dissenting voices, even going back to March and April. They were just blotted out. You don't dare disagree with Matt Hancock. You don't dare disagree with the NHS. You don't dare disagree with Dr. Fauci. Even though they get it wrong themselves and flip-flop routinely. Just back and forth and back and forth. Face mask, no. Face mask, yes. And that's the way that it goes. There was this retired professor of forensic and biological anthropology. Richard sent this to me. He had this write-up about how that the long-term effects of COVID are about the same as the flu. Uh-oh. He better be erased. Censored. Here's a quote from his article. It says, "It's far from evident that COVID-19 presents a greater risk of complications or persistent symptoms than flu. And given the demographic most affected, COVID-19 does not present as great a threat as flu to children and younger adults and the otherwise healthy." Did you hear this? It does not. Coronavirus, the Wuhan flu, it does not present a greater threat as the regular flu does to children, young people, those that are healthy. And yet you don't see that in the little 30-second clip. You don't see that in the 30-second warning from NHS. You have one emotional testimony from a young man saying, don't think that because you're young and fit that you're immune from this. How about some facts? How about the ever-declining mortality rate? Instead, it's just all cases. What about other deaths that have happened as a result of lockdown? Now, those are starting to come in as well. This was an interview earlier this week on CNBC's Squawk Box. He's interviewing Dr. Scott Gottlieb, but let me just play first the question posed by the CNBC reporter, clip 3.
The CDC also coming out with a study saying that there were 299, about 300,000 excess deaths thus far in 2020. In particular, and this to me was the surprising part about it, it said that it struck 25 to 44-year-olds very hard. Their excessive death rate was up 26.5%. So how do you square both of these numbers we're seeing?
Okay, so that's the CNBC reporter. He's citing a CDC report. That's the Center for Disease Control in the United States. He says, so overall this year, excess deaths in the U.S., 300,000. Now, there have been a little over 200,000 COVID-19-related deaths. But as the CDC reports, there's been a 25% increase in excess deaths among young people. So that's what the reporter's asking. Now, how do you square this? How do you explain these statistics? And then here's Dr. Gottlieb's response, clip four.
Yeah, we have to break down those CDC numbers a little bit. So 2/3 of those excess deaths were from COVID-19. The other 1/3 were from other causes. And I would suspect that a good portion of the deaths in that younger cohort were deaths due to despair, due to other reasons. We've seen a spike in overdoses, and I would suspect that a good portion of those excess deaths in that younger cohort were from drug overdoses and other deaths that were triggered by some of the implications of what we've gone through to try to deal with COVID-19. So
how we've dealt with COVID-19, in other words. So you've got 300,000 excess deaths, 200,000 related to COVID, and then you've got the other 100,000. And then within that group, the other 100,000, because keep in mind, the number of young people dying because of COVID or COVID-related sickness is hardly anything. And the stats now bear this out. So how do you explain this 25% increase in deaths among young people? Well, you heard it explained there for yourself. The implications of what we've gone through to try to deal with COVID-19. So you have all of these cases of discouragement and despair and depression. And this spike in drug overdoses, drug-related deaths. Those are the facts. You don't see it in the NHS commercial. You don't see it from Matt Hancock's office. But those are the facts. This is Julie Kelly at American Greatness. Keep in mind, the censorship, big tech, big media, it's been going on long before last Wednesday when the New York Post came out with the big reveal on Joe Biden. She says here, since the early stages of coronavirus crisis, any viewpoint or research coming or research running afoul of the accepted doctrine conceived by the credentialed class has been censored. It's been censored. Social media platforms, internet search engines, and other monopolistic guardians of information decided at the very beginning that they would determine which content would be available for public consumption. See, they decide. If it goes against the conventional wisdom, then it's blotted out. They'll just shut down Twitter accounts. They've done it to the New York Post. The paper that has the fourth highest circulation in the United States. It says here, a YouTube video produced in March by Dr. John Ioannidis, an early critic of the government's handling of the virus, was removed for violating the company's terms of service. Another widely viewed video featuring two California emergency room doctors describing their experiences with people suffering the consequences of lockdowns and the emerging data about the virus's lethality met the same fate in April. We played some of those clips for you on this program, those two doctors from California. It says ditto for a July video that showed several doctors condemning the detrimental effects of the lockdowns and promoting the reopening of schools and businesses nationwide. You see, blot it out. Censor it. Shut it down. She says, the left-leaning scientific and public health community decided back in January what the accepted facts would be. 9 months later, even as we know much more about how the virus spreads, who it impacts, and how to manage it, dissent is not permitted. It's just not permitted. They do not allow dissent, which, as I said earlier, it does make you wonder, what tricks will they pull out of their hat tonight at the debate? If anything comes up that goes against the conventional wisdom that they established, because keep in mind, they have established what the facts are with respect to COVID-19. They have established what the facts are with respect to the Biden family and whether or not there was any wrongdoing while he was vice president of the United States. They've established that Donald Trump is, like, he's public enemy number one. He is pure evil through and through. I think John Brennan tweeted out recently that he's the leader of the world as far as spreading disinformation is concerned. Donald Trump is. Worse than the Russians, worse than the Chinese, worse than everyone. That's John Brennan from the Obama administration. This article by Julie Kelly. She talks about Dr. Scott Atlas. This is the one of the president's new coronavirus advisors. And Atlas, he's been on record saying, I get all these emails from people who've had loved ones commit suicide because of the impact of these lockdowns. And these are people that are telling Dr. Atlas he's going against the grain. He's going against the left-wing public health community. And saying, look, there's disastrous effects here coming from the lockdown. And he has family members of loved ones who've committed suicide pleading with him to continue on with the fight. And yet, he comes under attack. Mr. Atlas says in this article, speaking of the censorship, this will mark the downfall of the United States if censorship of information is allowed. It honestly is the end of the country. They're just doing it openly. Facebook, Twitter, big media. You'll see it on display tonight. Just watch. The president, by the way, he was in Gastonia, North Carolina, just yesterday. This was for another campaign rally. And here's what he had to say about the pandemic, clip two.
That pandemic is rounding the corner. They hate it when I say it. You know, you turn on to this MSDNC and fake news CNN, all you hear is COVID, 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 COVID. That's all they put on because they want to scare the hell out of everyone. And you know, the more testing you have, the more cases. They say cases are up. Yeah, testing is up. We have more testing than India, China, and almost every other country put together.
There's the president from last night. Our censors, by the way, didn't remove the profanity there. We should have deleted that. We have our own censoring system here at the Trumpet Daily radio show where we try to, it's a family show after all, where we try to take out any profanity. In any event, you get the gist of what he was talking about there last night. COVID, 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 COVID. Why? And of course, it's all cases. Cases, cases, cases. They find more cases in Victoria, Australia, and we shut it down. They find more cases in Wales, and we shut it down. Speaking of Australia, by the way, this was from the Daily Mail the other day. Fears emerged that 243 hotel guests may have contracted HIV and hepatitis during blood tests as Victoria's quarantine crisis deepens and state looks at fitting travelers with tracking devices. Now listen to this. Safer Care Victoria is contacting 243 guests who went through the state's hotel quarantine system and took a blood glucose level test between March 29 and August 20. The health body said testing devices intended for one person had been used across multiple guests, potentially putting them at low risk of contracting viruses, including hepatitis B and C, as well as HIV. So they were forced, basically, to come in for all this testing and whatnot. And here the people giving, administering the test were using the same devices on multiple people. You can't make this up. Listen to this report from Nine News in Australia, clip 12.
More than 240 people from hotel quarantine will need to be screened for HIV and hepatitis. While the infection risk is low, Dugalbeattie says an investigation's been launched after finger prick devices were used by multiple staff and guests.
Diabetics and pregnant women were likely among the returned travellers who had their blood glucose levels tested while in hotel quarantine, only to find out the kits were used by multiple people.
Failures like this incident are something that is very regrettable.
Anyone who used the finger prick devices is now being urged to get screened for HIV as well as hepatitis B and C.
I mean, what do you say? The level of incompetence, the dishonesty that's on display every day, it just makes your head spin. trying to prevent COVID-19, the flu, from spreading. And now you've got people at risk of having contracted HIV because of this incompetence, using the same needle, basically, on multiple people. And if you look at Victoria, by the way, that's where they've clamped down the most. And a lot of the reason the outbreak was so bad there was, again, because of gross incompetence. That's a scandal you don't hear enough about. And again, Daniel Andrews' role in that, he's the one who's basically covered it up and orchestrated these draconian measures that are still in place. You had allegations early on of these guards, once they were put in mandatory quarantine, the people in hotels and such, the guards that were brought in, and it was, according to what Chris Eames was saying this morning, they were privately contracted. So they brought them in, and there's all these allegations that they took individuals that were supposed to be in quarantine out, you know, shopping or wherever else. And, of course, the outbreak was horrible there. And then it led to all of these other clampdown measures. Victoria is currently rolling out about 6 new cases per day. 6 per day. That's in a state of 6.4 million people. And over the long haul here, as I said at the top, we're seeing this dramatic decrease in the mortality rate. 6 new cases. Over the last 8 days, there have been exactly 1 death in Victoria. And yet, still, what are they saying? Well, this student got it over here, or this young person got it over here. We've got to lock everything down again. It's just insanity. Hosea 4, verses 1 and 2, I'll just read it to you. It says, "Hear the word of the Eternal, you children of Israel, for the Eternal has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." And it goes on and talks in verse 2 about the swearing and the lying and the stealing that goes on, and the killing, and the blood, touching blood. All of these people, okay, 200,000 excess deaths. Okay, in March and April, it was especially bad in northern Italy, in Belgium, here in the UK, in parts of the United States, New York in particular, New Jersey. But now what? We're months on in, six months into it, and you can't even get the truth. And if someone comes out like Dr. Atlas and gives you a bit of truth, it's immediately blotted out, censored, or at the very least, ignored. 300,000 excess deaths, 200,000 related to COVID. What about the other 100,000? And why are young people? Why are we seeing a 26% increase in excess deaths among the young? Well, these are bits of truth that you're just going to have a hard time finding in today's news climate. Speaking of censorship, Facebook and Twitter were a week on from those Joe Biden family revelations. And The Spectator pointed out this morning that Facebook, for example, said that, well, we're putting in place these restrictions on that story because we've got to fact check it. And so The Spectator is asking, well, what about the fact-checking? You said 7-8 days ago you were going to check it first. What has been the outcome of that? As I said earlier, the New York Post, it's still locked out of its own Twitter account. A week on from this, and the Post, by the way, it posted this statement today from Tony Bobulinski. He used to be a partner with Hunter Biden, and more and more of these, you might have heard of the guy that's in jail. He had to be moved to another cell because his life could be in danger. He's blown the whistle now on the Biden family scandal. And then here comes this Bobulinski guy who says, "I'm the recipient of the email published 7 days ago by the New York Post, which showed a copy to Hunter Biden and Ron Walker. The email, that email, he says, is genuine. So he's coming forward and saying, look, it is an email, and I received a copy. And this Bobulinski guy says that he's turned over a lot of business documents to the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and the Government Affairs of the Senate Committee on Finance. So the Senate is still, the Republican-controlled Senate is still looking for answers, is still looking into this, investigating this. This Bobulinski guy, he comes from a distinguished line of, I think he said his grandfather was an Army intelligence officer for 37 years. He's the brother of someone who served in the Navy for a number of years. And then he himself served in the Navy, I think, for 4 years. So, and he's concerned now that his name is going to be slandered, that his name is going to be dragged through the mud because of all of this scandalous activity involving Hunter Biden and his family. Joe Biden, his father, and then his uncle as well, Joe Biden's brother. This is Bobulinski's statement. He says, I'm CEO of Sinohawk Holdings, which was a partnership between the Chinese operating through Chairman Yi and the Biden family. I was brought into the company to be the CEO by James Gillier and Hunter Biden. The reference to the big guy in the much publicized May 13, 2017 email is in fact a reference to Joe Biden. The other JB referenced in the email is Jim Biden, Joe's brother. So I believe this was the one that was revealed over the weekend. There have been several revelations, but there was some question when the email was released as to, well, who is the big guy that Hunter Biden referred to? And here comes Bobulinski saying the big guy was in fact Joe Biden. It was the father, the kingpin of the family. It says here, Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy or my chairman. And keep in mind all the denials. For months and months and months, Joe Biden out there saying, I knew nothing about my son's business dealings. And then if he was asked about it, he would just shut it down. It's a total smear campaign. Look, I didn't know anything. And what he was doing was right. I trusted him. That's what he was saying all along. In this case, Bobulinski says, Hunter Biden called his dad the big guy or my chairman and frequently referenced asking him for his sign-off or advice on various potential deals that we were discussing. I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that that's not true because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. So here's someone with firsthand knowledge. I've seen it. I know that's not true. This was about their family name and their legacy. His statement continues, I realized the Chinese were not really focused on a healthy financial ROI. That means return on investment. The Chinese, paying them millions and millions of dollars, they weren't seeking a return on their investment. What were they seeking then? Bobulinski says they were looking at this as a political or influence investment. We'll pay you the millions, but we've got to get the political or the influence back from the Obama administration. This is according to this man's, I think, nearly 700-word statement. Used to work with Hunter Biden. Bobulinski says, once I realized that Hunter wanted to use the company as a personal piggy bank, by just taking money out of it as soon as it came in from the Chinese, I took steps to prevent that from happening. Once he saw what was going on, then he started to try to stop it and get out of it, get away from it. He said, by the way, you know, over the course of my life, the few campaign contributions I've made have been to Democrats. So I don't have a political axe to grind here. He's just wanting to protect his family name. He talks about the Johnson Report. This is what came out, I think, about a month ago, that 87-page report, I think it was. And that sort of got the ball rolling on this. And then we learned about the laptop a few weeks later. and all of these revelations that have come from that. But he says here, the Johnson report connected some of the dots in a way that shocked me. It made me realize the Bidens had gone behind my back and gotten paid millions of dollars by the Chinese, even though they told me they hadn't and wouldn't do that to their partners. This is pretty condemning. He says, finally, I don't have a political axe to grind. I just saw behind the Biden curtain and grew concerned with what I saw. The Biden family aggressively leveraged the Biden family name to make millions of dollars from foreign entities, even though some were from communist-controlled China. Ukraine, China, Russia, Kazakhstan. How many? I saw a report recently on Romania. How many others? How many were there? And now the defense, Joe Biden's defense, it's just unraveled. And all that they can say is that it's just a smear campaign. But what about that May 13, 2017 email? What about the big guy? What about the 10% cut? And then the other one that said 50%. What about those messages from Hunter Biden? And then what about all the cash transfers? Tens of millions of dollars. Kamala Harris was asked about this yesterday, and this was her response to the scandal, clip 9.
And, you know, one of the things I love about Joe Biden, he doesn't take on or talk about other people's kids.
So the kids are off limits. Hunter Biden, I think he's nearly my age or maybe a little older. He's off limits. You can't even bring him up. Okay, when it's respecting a Democrat, the kid, you can't even talk about them. In fact, when he was asked about it himself, Joe Biden, just a few weeks ago, this was his response to a reporter. Clip 10.
So look, if you want to talk about problems, you know, let's talk about Trump's family. I mean, come on.
Let's talk about the Trump kids, in other words. This is the one who never, never talks about other people's kids. He would never do this. And of course, ever since Donald Trump got in there, that's all that the radical left has done. Well, not all. They certainly go after Donald Trump first and foremost. But no one is off limits, that's for sure. Listen to this report from a couple of years ago. This is from CNN, clip 11.
What you see is the future president of the United States, or the president of the United States, essentially praising an enemy of the United States and someone who undermined our democracy solely for monetary gain, and then undermining a very precarious at sometimes coalition and NATO and the EU to give Putin what he wants so that Putin gives Trump what he wants. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's not this, you know, this isn't rocket science. It's just horrifying. I mean, when you actually watch all of that, this is, he is selling us, people. Like, I don't know what else to say at this stage. He is selling us. And he, let me now say it, Ivanka, let's say it again, Ivanka and Don Jr. are now fully implicated in the selling of American democracy for the Trump family gain.
That was CNN in 2018. It's pretty simple. The Trump family, they're in there trying to enrich themselves. They're trying to sell the American democracy for the Trump family gain. And here you have all of this evidence now of not the Trumps, the Bidens, and those connected with the Bidens all through the Obama years and even after. That email, as I said, was from 2017, months after Donald Trump was inaugurated. Here's Michael Goodwin, his piece at the New York Post this morning in response to that statement given by Bob Alinsky, the former partner of Hunter Biden. Goodwin says, the statement Wednesday night asserting that the former vice president was a willing and eager participant in a family scheme to make millions of dollars by partnering with a shady Chinese communist firm is a singular event in a presidential race already overflowing with drama and intrigue. It says, Bob Alinsky confirms that he was one of the recipients of the 2017 email published by the Post 8 days ago. That email from another partner in the group laid out cash and equity positions and mysteriously included a 10% set aside for the big guy. And who's the big guy? Well, Bobulinski says it's Joe Biden. He got his cut. He went in there, remember? He said, you don't fire this prosecutor. You're not going to get the billion. And, well, lo and behold, the prosecutor was fired. This is exactly what that advisor to the Burisma board asked Hunter Biden to do. You got to make this happen. Look, we're coming under attack. We're being investigated. You've got to protect the country, the company, rather. This is why you were hired. $83,000 a month. It says sources have said the big guy was Joe Biden. In a matter-of-fact manner, Bobulinski states that the email is genuine and that the former vice president and man leading the 2020 race is indeed the big guy. That claim alone rips out the heart of nearly everything Joe Biden has ever said about Hunter's many businesses and Joe's knowledge of them. His repeated insistence that the two never spoke of the son's global sources of money didn't pass the laugh test. It says further on, these are some stats that most of you are aware of. It says, after all, they traveled together to China on Air Force Two. Here's Hunter Biden, the drug addict. He's on Air Force Two. How does he get on that plane? How does he even get past Secret Service, given his background? Well, it happened. He's aboard Air Force Two, where Hunter landed a $1.5 billion commitment from a government-controlled Chinese bank. Then there was Hunter's $83,000 a month gig on the board of a Ukrainian company, despite his lack of experience in Ukraine or knowledge of energy. This was what Hunter Biden said in an interview, by the way, about a year ago, clip five.
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the Vice President of the United States.
No, it's impossible. There's no way I would have been on any of these boards were it not for the fact that I was the son of the Vice President. And then the reporter asked this, and listen to the response, clip six.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know. Probably not.
Probably not. He didn't have any experience with energy, didn't know the language, hadn't even been in Ukraine much. He ends up on the board for $83,000 a month. For what? The New York Post says this. This is a Goodwin's piece. It was no coincidence that the vice president was the Obama administration's point man in both countries, speaking of China and Ukraine. Wherever Joe went, Hunter went along, not to do good, but to do well, very well. This is the New York Post. There were similarly lucrative deals in Russia, Romania, and Kazakhstan that we know of. Now, because his role in the China deal has been credibly confirmed, it's beyond dispute that Joe didn't just know what was going on. At least in this case, Joe was a player and had his hand out. To that point, in perhaps the most devastating paragraph of the 689-word statement, Bobulinski writes that Hunter Biden also referred to his father as my chairman and frequently referenced asking him for his sign-off or advice on various potential deals that they were discussing. He was heading up the pay-for-play scheme, the vice president was. Now, again, just to refresh your memories, here's what he admitted, the vice president, the former vice president, in an interview in January of 2018, clip seven.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
And he went on to say, well, he was fired. Just proudly admitted that. Hunter Biden out there in an interview, I wouldn't have been on any of those boards were it not for my father. All of these millions, all of this cash. This was one that was turned up recently on Twitter. This is from a speech that the vice president gave in July of 2015. So this is while he was serving as a vice president. He's giving this speech in Ukraine in front of the Ukrainian prime minister and a room full of Ukrainian businessmen and top government officials. Here's clip 8.
If you do what I believe you will, your country will owe you, Europe will owe you, and we will owe you. The ambassadors heard me say many times when I pushed for these loan guarantees, it's a matter of pay me now or pay me later. A matter of pay me now or pay me later.
Pushing forward the loan guarantees, and you heard how he did it from that 2018 admission. Pay me now or pay me later. Look, you better do what I say. The New York Post concludes here, what is not clear yet is whether Joe Biden had secret stakes in any of Hunter's other deals. While such deals would be legal for Joe Biden when he left government service, the facts take on extra significance during a campaign where China policy is a frequent topic and a big dispute between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So, as I say, we'll be interested to see what is even allowed as a topic tonight for that final debate. Because, as we've seen with this and many other stories before it, censorship has been, well, it's been alive and well throughout 2020, that's for sure. If you don't toe the party line, chances are your account could be shut down. Your account, or rather your version, your statement, your facts can be erased. Or at the very least, as I say, there's just this ignoring of the truth right across the board. Hosea 4 and verse 1 again. Isaiah 59:15, truth fails. These two verses in Psalm 12. This is right at the beginning of the psalm. It says, help, Lord, for the goodly man ceases, for the faithful man from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one of them, with their neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. We just see so much misinformation and propaganda and outright lies, and all of that is prophesied. Isaiah 59:15, of course, tells us. But there's other passages too, like Daniel 8, and even Jesus encountered liars, and he called them that right to their face. You're of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. That's the spirit behind all of this. And of course, again, to use prophecy as our guide, we know it's not going to get any better. It's just going to worsen. That's why, as my father said in that 2004 article on the deadly left-wing media, the more and more we see these lies and this deception, it should just make us all the more appreciative of how precious and valuable the truth is. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
I should have concluded that last segment with this from Dan Murray at the Spectator. He's talking here about Antifa, the Antifa mob, as he puts it. He says Antifa's tactic is to provoke the police into an act of violence on camera so the activists can then claim that they were or are being oppressed. From everything I saw of the police, including being cleared from an alleyway at gunpoint along with a dozen or so Antifa activists, I would say that most U.S. federal agents have the patience of saints. So this is someone who embedded himself into the movement and saw how the police exercised quite a lot of restraint. But then listen to this from Dan Murray. He says, still, the image comes to mind of the elephant brought down by the smaller predators. America is not being brought low by one beast, but by a whole pack of them. These predators include, though are not limited to, ignorance, educational failure, radical indoctrination, pandemic, poverty, narcissism, boredom, the disappearance of adults, a belief that law enforcement is the enemy, and much more. It says, why America didn't throw off the first attacker and keep on moving is a question I cannot shake off, whether this pack brings the big beast crashing down or not. All of these afflictions, and this too, of course, is prophesied, all of these predators, all of the ignorance and the failure in education, the radical indoctrination, the pandemic, the poverty, the narcissism, the boredom, that makes me think of the missing dimension in sex quote from Herbert Armstrong about our young people and human nature and how that so many of the young are just, they're just plain bored and hopeless. They have no hope for the future. Think of 2 Timothy 3 as well, and also the disappearance of adults. That's certainly prevalent in our society as well. Just following on with Antifa, there's a piece at the American Greatness, the Antifa industry at work, and it makes a really effective point about how that the so-called, you know, peaceful protesters, Antifa embeds themselves into those peaceful movements, and then, of course, they start destroying things. And the author of this American Greatness piece says that these are not two groups working separately. They're working together. They're working together, and it goes on to talk about what could be in the forecast, in the immediate forecast here in the next few weeks, if the presidential election does not go the way the radical left wants it to go. All right, we'll conclude here with a few emails and comments that have been made on social media sites regarding the program. It says here, glad you made it back safely, and now we get back to normal, quote unquote, after the fall feast and all the activities. Another listener says, thank you for your most excellent reporting and lessons in the Word of God. Another one writes, I haven't stopped watching this True News. Each day is an experience with the technology getting this out. I hope everyone is having a great week. And then this one here, you recall, some of you, the listener that wrote in and said that he played my father's Thanksgiving program from the late 1990s every year at Thanksgiving. And then this listener responds to that saying, I do the same thing with that same Gettysburg program by Mr. Gerald Fleury, made back in 1997. It is an all-time favorite of mine as well. I can't count how many times I've seen it. Also, this program makes me realize how little I'd known about President Lincoln as well. True history is and has been incredibly muffled into silence over the past three decades. This has proven to be a self-destructive method to this country and has been the number one contribution to today's leftist movement and its opportunity to have the voice that it has. That's a comment on one of the problems with education. And going back to that Spectator piece, it also notes the disappearance of adults, that being one of the predators. Let me just give you this last comment. This came from one of the Holiday Inn employees in Rapid City. This is where so many of our brethren stayed for the recent Feast of Tabernacles. And the conversation that this employee had with one of our members was related to me recently. It's summarized as this. You guys are the nicest people It has just been a joy having you here. You know what amazed me the most? And I've told all of the managers this. None of you guys are on your phones. You have no idea how many people come in here with their little children, and they are all on their phones. You can tell that their kids just want attention. I told all the managers that, and your little kids are so well behaved. So here is an example of God's people out there, not glued to their phones, but glued to one another as family. No disappearance of adults in God's family, that's for sure. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to tdpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.